We open our Bibles this morning once again in the book of First Epistle General of John, and the chapter is the chapter number 1. 1 John chapter 1, commencing to read at the first verse, the opening verse of this passage of God's Word. 1 John chapter 1, commencing to read at verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And we know that God will add His blessing to the reading of His precious Word. Let's just commit ourselves to the Lord as we meditate upon His book. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. And we pray that Thou wilt open our eyes that we might see the spiritual truth that is found therein. We pray that Thou wilt, our God, touch our hearts, that having seen the Word, that our God, that Thou wilt help us not only to hear it and to see it, but, O God, may we practice it in our lives. We pray that we might go into all the world and take the gospel of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, our God, to walk carefully and to walk prayerfully before Thee as others look upon us. And so to this end, O God, I pray that Thou will bless Thy Word to all those that hear, and we pray that even this day, that, Lord, You'll challenge our individual hearts. May business be done with Thee in Thy house this day, in the individual hearts, that we might go out and live Christ before the world. And so to this end, we claim the promised Holy Ghost. Cover us in the precious blood and fill us with Thy power. And may the name of the Lord Jesus alone be uplifted and glorified. For we ask these things humbly believing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we continue our study here in the first epistle of John, in this first chapter, we were looking last Lord's Day at the presentation or the message that was presented to the people. In verse number 5, John's saying here, "This then is the message that we have heard of Him." John sat at Jesus' feet, he heard Him speak. He saw the Savior with His eyes, he looked upon Him, His hands have handled Him, he laid His head upon the breast of Christ. He loved the very presence of the Savior. How wonderful it must have been to have sat in the presence of the Savior Himself and to look upon His lovely face. And John says, "This is the message then, which we have heard of Him, and we declare unto you." He got the message from Christ and then declared it unto others. And that, of course, is our responsibility in the presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But you'll notice it is a twofold message we're looking last Lord's Day. First of all, it says this is the message that God is light. And there we looked at that last Lord's Day in the statement, God is light. Not He is only the Father of lights. Not only He is a possessor of light and dwelleth in the light which no man can approach unto. But we notice that God was light itself. And so we studied that as we meditated upon God's Word last Lord's Day. And then the second statement we concluded and we were drawing to a conclusion on was this second statement: not only is God light, but in Him is no darkness at all. And as we were thinking about that, we were noticing what the darkness described. And it says, in Him, that is in God, there is no darkness at all. Doesn't say that darkness doesn't exist. There's a lot of intellectual darkness and ignorance all around today. There's a lot of spiritual darkness all around in the hearts of those that are held by Satan, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in to their hearts and they would believe the gospel of Christ. But it says that in Him is no darkness at all. We noticed last Lord's Day that the darkness means that a man is vain in his imagination about God, and he's foolish in his heart concerning God. Man's heart is in darkness. And then secondly, we notice that the darkness means evil behavior and deeds. Men love darkness rather than light because what? Their deeds are evil. And men and women indeed are afraid to come to the light lest it shows just how evil and dark their heart is. And then John says that he that saith that he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now, because hating his brother is an evil behavior and is a sinful behavior and sinful deed. But darkness also means man's nature. You see, the Bible tells us that indeed that as far as man's heart, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse 8 it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, and now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And so what we find is that as regards God, God is light. In Him there's no darkness at all. But as far as the unconverted and the unsaved and unregenerate soul, our past, because that's what we were, our past, my friend, was ye were sometimes darkness. That's exactly what we were. We were the embodiment of darkness. It was our nature. It was our character. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You see, the ungodly man lives in the darkness. He is without God, and he's without hope. He is in the darkness, in actual fact, and in reality, in his own natural sphere, he knows not where he has come from. You see, to him, to the unconverted man of himself, without scriptural knowledge, without biblical truth, friend, if a man is left to himself, everything is as a result of human and natural process. Because he's in the darkness. He doesn't know really where he has come from. In actual fact, he's not in the darkness from where he has come, but he is in the darkness as to why he is here. Because the person who is unconverted, the person who is in the nature's darkness, in the darkness of his heart, in the darkness of his soul, he knows not why he is in this earth and why he's on the earth. To the unconverted, in actual fact, he rises in the morning. He goes through his daily affairs. He does his daily routines. He does all that he has to do. And then, of course, he just retires at night and on it goes. It just goes on. That's the way life is. But where he's headed and why he's here, he doesn't really have a clue. Because, you see, without God and living in the darkness of your heart, my friend, there is no real purpose. Life really has no significance at all. It is God that brings to life a purpose, and the significance in life is only understood when God is there, when God is in the center of your life. The Catechism asks the question, what is man's chief end? In other words, what it's saying, why are we here? Young person, I asked you this question. Why do you think you're here? Why are you on this earth? Is there a real purpose for you being here on this earth at all? The natural man says, no, there's really no purpose. We just live and then we die. We're here for a short period of time, some longer than others, but we have to go and then we're put into the grave. And the unconverted and the man that's in the darkness of his own heart, he stops at the side of the grave and he thinks that's where it ends, that's where it finishes, because there is no real purpose for him being here in the first place. The Bible, the Catechism, an answer to the question, indeed, on the basis of the Scripture, what is man's chief end and what is the purpose of him being here? It is this. Man's chief end, the real purpose of him living here, is to glorify the God who made him and to enjoy him forever. Not only here, but praise God forever. And my friend, God wants you to know him here, and God wants you to enjoy him here, not only to know about him, but to know him personally as your God, and to know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior, to have a real purpose, to rise in the morning, and to have a purpose for living. I'm here to live for God. God has put me here, and God has a plan to keep me here, and when God has his purpose and plan to take me, then he'll take me home. But I'm in the center of God's will. I'm in the center of God's plan. I'm in the center of God's purpose. But you see, the man who's in the state of nature, friend, he's in darkness to that all. He can't see any purpose. He just rises in the morning, if he does even that. Maybe it's the afternoon. But he rises sometime, and then he goes through a process of going through the day, and then the darkness falls, and whenever he's tired, he just drops into bed again, and he goes through the routine. I'm asking you a question. What does that what life mean to you? Are you just going through the routine of a life for a living? But you see, my friend, you can't see a real purpose. You can't see a real significance to your life. There's no real meaning to your life. The ungodly man without the Scriptures, he doesn't know where he's from, he doesn't know why he's here, and he doesn't know where he's going. He's in the darkness. Thank God the psalmist was able to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yes, friend, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He knows where he's going. And he knows that whilst he's here, there's a purpose and plan, because the goodness and the mercy of God will go with him. Every step of the journey of life, no matter how hard the road is, no matter how tough the journey is, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, friend. Praise God. The goodness of God and the mercy of God goes with us all the way. But you see, the unconverted man, the unsaved man that is in the darkness of his heart, friend, the truth of the Word has never got into his heart. He doesn't know if there's a God. Oh yes, God has set eternity in our hearts. Yes, there is a knowledge that there is some reason why that we're here, and there is somewhere a God, but man doesn't know that. He could write across the inscription of Acts chapter 17, to the unknown God. And he doesn't know where he's going. Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? He doesn't know, friend. Why? Because he's in the darkness. In the darkness about the future. In other words, he's wrapped up in the darkness. Ye were sometimes darkness. And friend, let us remember this fact, that that's exactly where God found us in the first place. Ye were sometimes darkness. Who was the ye? It was those who had been born again of the Spirit of God. Paul's writing to the believers at Ephesus, and he said, listen, that's your past. And friend, writing to the church in Nazareth, that's your past, that's my past. Ye were sometimes darkness. Darkness. And that's why men love the darkness rather than light, because they're wrapped up in the darkness. And apart from God, there is no knowledge of the truth. For he is truth. But now are ye light in the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter's writing to the believers and he tells them this. He says in verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation. Ye are a royal priesthood. Ye are an holy generation. Ye are a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. How did we get out of the darkness? We were called out of darkness. Thank God for that effectual call of God's grace. When God called us, he found us in our darkness. But praise God, he who is light, he shone the light of the glorious gospel into our hearts. And by the blessed power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, called us out of darkness and brought us into, listen, his marvelous light. Why? Because he is light. It's his marvelous light. And that's where God has brought you, my friend. You see, there is no darkness in him. There is no darkness. God in him, yes, is light, but he is light. He is light. And him, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's the presentation. That was the message. And friend, we live in a dark world, don't we? We live in a sad world. And isn't it wonderful to have the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Aren't we richly blessed that God has given us the privilege of hearing the good news? Because that's what the word gospel means, good news. Aren't we privileged that we have heard this gospel? Aren't we privileged, my friend, while teams of multitudes of men and women are stumbling on towards eternity and there are those that have never once heard the gospel preached? Of course, that brings a tremendous responsibility. Because you have heard the gospel over and over again, friend, and some of you in the service this morning, listening to the sound of my voice in this house, this morning, some of you are trampling underfoot the gospel. Some of you are trampling underfoot the precious blood that Jesus Christ shed for you. And you count it as if it means nothing, friend. And you take the privileges and the opportunities and the blessings that God has given you and the mercies of God in reaching out to your soul and the blessing of the speaking voice of the Spirit of God to your heart. You've taken all of that and you've turned your back on God and you're racing on to hell because you love the darkness rather than the light because your deeds are evil. But they that come to God, friend, they come to the light because God is light. That's the presentation. Now let's notice the next thing. Let's notice the profession. And we come to verse 6. Let's look at this. If we say we have fellowship with him, who's that? With God. The God who's light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. Notice this. We lie. We lie and we do not the truth. Here's the profession. Here's the profession. You see, the purpose of God revealing himself to us as light is that we may come into fellowship with him. Because it says, if we say we have fellowship with him. Now, it's an amazing thing that God desires fellowship with us. And he wants us to be in fellowship with him. That's an amazing thing. Surely that's the goodness and the mercy of God. And the purpose of God revealing this light and bringing us to the light is that we come into that fellowship with him. Now note, that there can be a profession of fellowship. Now mark this. There can be a profession of fellowship with God, and yet the practice belies the profession. It says here, if we say, this is the profession, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in the darkness, that's the practice. There's the profession, there's the practice. The profession is we have fellowship with Him who is light, and yet we walk in the darkness. That's the practice. It says here, we lie. So our profession of fellowship with God and the practice that we do or the conduct that we have belies that profession. In other words, there's a contrast here between the saying and the doing. You notice four times in the early part of John's epistle, he says in verse 6, if we say, it's profession. Then you go to verse 8, it says, if we say. Then you go to verse 10, if we say. And then you go to verse 1 of the next chapter, rather verse 4 of the next chapter. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Friend, this is strong stuff. This is plain talking. This is plain writing. And this is the Holy Ghost speaking to our hearts, you see. It's clear from what is read here from God's Word that mere talk is not the proof of our fellowship with God. Mere talk, having the words in the right place, is not, my friend, the proof of our relationship with God. What is? The life we live. That's the proof. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and yet we walk in darkness. In other words, our lives must back up our lips. And one is a lot easier than the other, isn't that right? It's not easier to talk a good talk than what it is to walk a good walk. And if we are walking in darkness, then our lives are contradicting what our lips are saying. And friend, if that's so, then we're hypocrites. We're hypocrites. The New Testament calls the Christian life a walk. Now that walk begins with a step. It's the step of faith. That's where it starts. The step of faith. And when you and I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, having been called out of nature's darkness and been brought into the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, friend, and we take the step of faith, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the step of faith, friend. But listen to me. That step is not the end. That step's the beginning of a spiritual walk. That is but the beginning of the spiritual life. And friend, John's dealing with an important aspect of Christianity here,
And it is of vital importance that you and I see the importance of it. It is living Christ. That's what we're talking about. That's what John's dealing with.
There are those that professed in John's day. There were those that professed the profession of fellowship with God, and yet their practice was utterly opposite to what God's word and God's will was. And I want you to notice how strong the scriptures here in this. Let's not play about with this. And friend, God speaks to my heart in this as well as yours, because we're all on the same level here. It says in verse 6 these words. Listen to me now. Read it. Get your eyes in the book. Follow me. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, listen, we lie. We're liars. We're liars.
We lie, says the Holy Ghost. And we do not the truth. I want you to notice there's a twofold lie here. The person who says that they have fellowship with God, who is light, and yet they walk in the darkness. There is, first of all, the lie of the lips. If we say we walk in darkness,
we lie. In other words, that's the lie of the lips. But then notice the next thing. We lie and do not the truth. That's the lie of the life.
The lie of the lips and the lie of the life. Do not the truth. In other words, our profession is untrue because our practice is opposed to the truth.
The truth acknowledged in the creed must be practiced in the conduct. Oh, it's easy to get the creed right. Let's be honest. It's hard to get the conduct right. Because we have an adversary. There's the adversary, the devil. And what we're talking about here is the sweetest experience this side of heaven, friend. Let me tell you. The sweetest experience this side of heaven is fellowship with God. Oh, it's so easy to sing the words, we walk with Him and we talk with Him. Or He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me that I'm His own. Oh, the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. What fellowship? You know, God fellowships with us. He enters into our experiences. Thank God He's always there. He said, I have seen the affliction. Speaking about the children of Israel, He says, I know their sorrow. His heart was moved and compassion followed. When the Lord Jesus looked at the multitude and He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, He was moved with compassion. And we are in His fatherly love. And His fatherly love enters into the experiences of the children. You know, a child never really knows a father or motherly love unless a mother or father enters into the experiences with the child. You know, if a child's heart's breaking and a father or mother stands off and says, listen, don't come near me. Your heart's breaking, but I don't want to know. And friend, you don't enter into the experiences that enter into the feelings. But when a child's heart is breaking and he leans or she leans her head upon a mother's breast or a father's shoulder and they sob and a father or mother puts her arms around them and says, tell Daddy,
I want to enter into your heartache. I want to share what you're going through. We sing the hymn, "There's not a sorrow rends our hearts, but the man of sorrows is apart." He knows all about it. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And so, our Father in love enters into our experiences, and we enter into His loving thoughts and into His loving purposes, and we share in His peace and we share in His joy. What a wonderful thing is when that child whose heart's breaking just leans his head upon that breast. And the one that once was sobbing and heartbroken is now peaceful and restful, having entered in to that sweet fellowship and love with the one who cares. God wants you to know sweet fellowship, friend. God's not a God who stands off. But He says, if we draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us. And so, it says, walking in darkness. That's habitually moving in the element of darkness. Walking means our daily life, our movement, our activity in the world. And this activity inevitably shows forth in our walk. We can't have communion with Him. We can't have fellowship with Him walking in darkness. But to walk in the light. It says in verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, listen to it, we have fellowship the one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And God is light, friend. God's light. And if a person walks in darkness, he doesn't really know God. He can't be in real fellowship with God. There's a principle here. And I know time's away this morning, but let me tell you, we're moving on from the profession to the principle. To have fellowship with God, here's the principle. To have that sweet, loving fellowship with God and communion with Him, here's the principle. We must walk in the light. Why? Because God's light. And if we say we have fellowship with Him, we walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not the truth, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have the fellowship. Listen, we have the fellowship. Why? Because we're walking in the light. And God is light. And we're not afraid of the light. Why? Man loves the darkness rather than the light because his deeds are evil. But he's not walking in the darkness anymore. He's walking in the light. And he's walking. We have fellowship. We're going to come back to that next Lord's Day. We're going to look at then, what is this principle? What is this principle? If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have the fellowship the one with the other. Walking, friend. Walking with God. Enoch walked with God. And he was not. Forgot to. Oh, that we would desire this day, Lord, that I might know that
sweet, intimate fellowship with thee. Abram was called the friend of God. Isn't that lovely? Would you like that as your testimony, friend? Would you like that to be able to say, because God wrote that testimony? And God wrote that obituary, Abram, the friend of God. You can't be the friend of God, friend, and walk in darkness. We need to be so careful, not only what we say with our lips, but what we do in our life. Because make no mistake about it, your life and mine will touch others this week, either for God or against them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word this morning, and we do rejoice that we have a blessed book here that is truth. Thy word is truth. And we do rejoice that we have a Savior who is light and life and love. And we pray that we might go forward from this house today, those who profess Thy name, to live Christ before those around us, before those in our families, that we might live Christ. And Father, we pray that You'll bring, if there are those in our gathering, those listening today that are not saved, bring them to that loving relationship with Yourself through Your Son and through the finished work of His cross. For Jesus' sake. Amen.